Another episode of Pod Racers, a Star Wars podcast, and joining me once again, Matt Kehoe. Matt, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. A little bit of rainy weather here for the first time in the week, but otherwise good.
I see in the Zoom video here that your window's open and it kind of looks, not gloomy, but it's not as bright as it was last time.
It's overcast. I can't see the water from here because there's so much fog.
It upsets me that you get to see the Atlantic Ocean from your house. That's not fair. I get nothing but dust and prairies around me.
Yeah.
But oh well. Awesome episode to talk this week on Pod Racers. We've got a little bit of news. Our top five for this week is Star Wars' least favorite lines. Hondo Anaka will not be a part of that conversation.
No.
And then our review, our four episodes, 5 to 8, which are now getting real deep into Star Wars lore and what is going to be happening in the next few episodes with Doom, which I'm really excited about because I love this storyline. I think it's great. We're starting to see the Force kind of push its
taking a side.
Like, it's important, and we're also seeing how big of a threat that Thrawn is to the Rebels, and even the Rebels now starting to stake their claim as a legitimate force in the galaxy, which is exciting. So let's get everything started by talking some news. Here's one that I thought was pretty interesting, and this kind of, remember last time I was talking about how they've kind of put the kibosh on the New Republic show, Disney Plus, and that I thought there's a void to fill there. How about a Luke Skywalker New Republic show, like New Jedi Order show? Apparently there is a rumor out there from Darth Agnet saying that Brie Larson is in talks for a role in Star Wars. I actually like Brie Larson. I don't get all the hate for her. I really don't. Brie Larson is Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Mara Jade, which would be Luke's wife. So
I mean, that'd be interesting.
It's super interesting. Now she's
I don't really like her personally.
Brie Larson?
Why? Yeah, I don't know why.
See, the big thing is a lot of people talk about she doesn't have much in the way of charisma.
No, she doesn't.
But how do you judge that?
Well, like, I'm paying money to watch charismatic people do things like.
Sure, but I think her character in general is supposed to be kind of bland. Like, she's a military officer. How many military officers do you know that are just the life of the party?
Not that many.
So I get the idea of, oh, she's not charismatic, but I'm like, but is she supposed to be?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I didn't mind Captain Marvel. I thought it was a good movie. Some people didn't like it because
it was entertaining.
Yeah, they didn't like it because she was kind of bland in it. But I'm like, again, what is she supposed to be in that? Like, what are you looking for out of a military pilot? They're trained. Like, we talk about, or not we, but there's that talk on hockey players and how they're bland and they all talk the same talk and it's all cliche all the time. You get a hockey player that gets up and talks and has a personality and they're a problem in the locker room. Like, that's the way that they're trained. So for Brie Larson, I follow her on Instagram, and I see a lot of her videos, and I think she's kind of funny, actually. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. But interesting rumor. If that's the case, are we going to get a Luke TV show? I hope so. I'd like to see it.
I do too.
I want to see what happens with like prime Luke from now. And you don't even need to go 30 years into the future. Just tell 5 years of story.
Mm-hmm.
And just have Luke kick ass and have to deal with crazy stuff like the Yuuzhan Vong or anything like that. Like, get into that. Let's do it. Another interesting rumor, this one concerning Ahsoka Tano and the TV show, which is supposed to come out next year. I'm not quite sure.
Maybe.
We'll see. Disney's promising us 100 new episodes of or new shows every year. We'll see. We'll see on that. We're not even close to that, but whatever. For the Ahsoka show, apparently there might be the return of a character that Ahsoka knows very well, and it would bring in immediate rival. I guess depending upon how they want to go with this. Barriss Offee. So I think everybody's familiar with Barriss. She was...
if they're Clone Wars fans, yes.
Yeah, she was a friend of Ahsoka and then pulled a heel turn and framed her for the bombing at the Jedi Temple in season 5.
She basically pulled an Anakin before pulling an Anakin was cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but she
realized that the Jedi were terrible and she tried to blow them all up and get rid of them.
But you know what's really funny about that too? Like, even when she gets caught and she's confronted, like Palpatine's there and everything, I didn't get the sense that she had gone dark side.
No, I don't think so either.
Like, it was, she was, well, the Jedi are, we're in trouble here. So I'm going to try and stop this from being trouble.
Yeah.
She went about it the wrong way, obviously, but I thought it was an interesting scenario for her because, yeah, when they bring her in and she's cuffed and Anakin is showing all sorts of anger and he's mad at the Jedi Temple and he's mad at all the public, all the politicians, because he's trying to protect Ahsoka and he's angry with Barriss. Like, you see him going, well, this is Anakin's, just here's another notch on the rung of heading towards the dark side. Harris is kind of calm, and then she just says, like, you guys are all in, like, you're, it's crazy, this is not,
you're
how
working Jedi for the dark, and she doesn't, she even say you're working for the dark side at some point.
I think
yeah,
she says
you just don't realize it. Yeah, she's totally gets what's going on.
So she's, yeah, she, like,
yeah,
she basically, she gave Ahsoka her way out of the Jedi Order, really, because as soon as that is done, Ahsoka is given the opportunity to rejoin the Jedi, and she just says, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, and that really helps with Anakin's downfall, because now he's lost his Padawan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which only makes it worse. So I'd love to see the story that they, if that is to come true, I'd love to see the story of what's going to happen with Barriss. And I wonder if they bring in the original actress who played Barriss in, I believe it was Attack of the Clones. We see Barriss.
Oh, yeah.
Just super briefly.
Yeah.
That's all I've got for news. Do you have anything, any rumors or anything like that?
No, nothing for me. I was just thinking, you know, E3 is going on right now, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, and I was looking for Star Wars news on there, but I haven't found any yet. So
it's entirely
possible that they haven't had their shot at releasing news yet. That might be in the next day or two.
What's interesting too with that, I know that they had announced the other day that Jedi Fallen Order was being released on the PlayStation 5 and Xbox, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have new scenes or anything like that that would kind of be involved with it, but it's interesting to see. I really do need to find some money and purchase a PlayStation 5 so that I can play it, because I think that would be a game. Like, on the 4, it is a beautiful game.
Yeah, like, and full HD 60 frames per second, it would look unbelievably good.
Right, and I imagine the fighting will be a little more crisp on it too, and it's already really, really good in that game. The flashbacks, the Clone War flashbacks, would be amazing. Gotta get a PlayStation 5. But let's jump into our Star Wars top 5 terrible quotes.
All right. Well, I have worse lines, but yeah, I guess they also are worst terrible lines. Quotes.
Yeah, worst lines, terrible quotes, whatever. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So you can start.
I'm going to start with my honorable mention first, I think.
Okay.
And my honorable
mention. I hope it's the same thing.
My honorable mention is Ray by Finn, which he says all the time because he has no agency in the sequel trilogy. And all he does is cry after Ray to solve his problem for him.
Because he loves her so much. So obviously much.
That's my honorable mention just that's because... Fair. Like, yeah, the guy just needs to like shut up. Like he's been a stormtrooper. He's taking care of business in the first movie. He stood up to Kylo Ren, and now he's just running after Rey and always calling out her name and not doing anything for himself, it seems. And
do you
that
find...
line just like encapsulates everything that's wrong with what they did with Finn's character, I think.
I agree.
Episode 8 and 9.
Do you find Finn to be very lacking of any type of substance, because like this guy was a stormtrooper and he was a stormtrooper from a very young age. It's almost like the First Order took a page out of the Jedi Order and abducted children from super young and brought them up in their system.
Yeah.
Finn goes from being a stormtrooper, all of a sudden having like, I'm not into this whole thing. And yeah, he's super undisciplined as far as a character goes for a guy that was a former stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird because if you played Battlefront 2, the main character in Battlefront 2, I forget her name. Tremendous actress, though. She was awesome in it. But the character was an Empire squadron, like a stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. Elite stormtrooper. She changes sides because she doesn't agree with what's going on, and she's still super disciplined. Like, she doesn't lose her character. I find Finn becomes somebody completely different when he can't shoot the civilians on whatever planet that was. Like, it's just weird. But anyway, go ahead. What's your next one? Or what's your first one?
Let's see here. I'm not sure. There's so many terrible ones here.
Is it
I shouldn't say there's so many terrible ones. I have, you know, I don't have any original trilogy quotes here.
There is none.
I'm sure I could probably come up with a couple in Return of the Jedi if I watched it again.
Do you know what the best quote from Return of the Jedi is? And also from Family Guy?
What's that?
The one where the Emperor goes, "Oh, your friends will be quite surprised when you see that this battle station is fully operational." Like, it's so funny. That's an awesome line. just the pure asshole he is when he says it.
Let's see here. I'm gonna go with whatever. I'll just do them in the order that I thought of them.
Okay.
So the first one that I thought of was, "I hate sand."
I got that one too.
Yeah, you know, it's coarse and it's rough and it gets in everywhere, you know, from Anakin in episode 2. And you know, it's just they make so much fun of it. And
like, what episode is it where I think it's Rey says, oh no, it's not Rey, isn't it the that character that Finn ends up meeting on Endor where the Death Star has crashed? They're on like a beach or something.
The
like
girl?
She says something about like, I like
Lando's
sand.
Maybe daughter or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That he creeps on a little bit. Just weird.
Yeah, I hate sand. The next one that I wrote down was, somehow Palpatine survived. Right, it's just like, okay, so you've just thrown episode 7 and 8 in the garbage with this one line, you know, somehow Palpatine survived. Thanks for explaining it, Star Wars.
And they don't even go into
explaining. And they don't even go into explaining
it. He just lived.
That's just it. That he was cloning. Yep. Yeah. And somehow he survived. That's all you got to say.
Yeah. They're filling it in with comics. Let them do what they want. What's up next? You got some.
The next one I've got, if you're not with me, then you are my enemy. When Anakin says it to Obi-Wan on Mustafar at the end of episode 3.
And then immediately thereafter, Obi-Wan says, what does he say? Something about
you're an absolute
and Sith's only. Yeah.
You're a Sith, only Sith deals in absolutes. Meanwhile, here's Yoda that's saying, do or do not try. There is do or do not, there is no try, right? It's like, so I guess you could put that whole little back and forth there, exchange between Anakin and Obi-Wan in there, because it's just so like
bad.
Yeah, it does. It is. It's, and you know, it's... Anakin really, like, their whole relationship boils down, and this is what he says to him.
Yeah.
If you're not with me, you're my enemy. It's like, wow.
It's an absolute, and only Siths deal in absolutes. Isn't that an absolute in its own right?
Exactly. Right? It's an oxymoron or a contradiction or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do I got here? This one is from episode 8, and it's said by Luke, and it's the line where he says, it didn't scare me enough then, but it does now, or something. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And when he's talking about like the darkness inside of Rey, and I'm like, bitch, please, like, this guy threw his lightsaber away in the face of Vader and Palpatine, right, at the height of their power, and he's afraid of Rey, you know. Yeah. And he's like they don't really say what the darkness is that he's afraid of, but I can only assume it's Palpatine.
You would have to think.
Like, who else would it be? Ben Solo, maybe?
But even still, with Ben never was fully committed to the dark side of the Force.
No, exactly. So
his like, they botched that whole, and it could have been such a good story.
It could have.
Oh, like, it really could have. I like the idea that Anakin or Luke has to deal with his nephew turning to the dark side, but they never fully committed to Kylo going dark.
No, they didn't. Yeah, he was
always in between.
Yeah. And yeah, remember, I think we were talking about it several podcasts ago now, where imagine if it was you know, like, Luke has to kill Kylo, and then Leia gets pissed off, and then like the sequel trilogy is about Leia versus Luke. Like, how sick would that have been? You know,
it would have been awesome,
pitting the two chosen ones of the Force against each other. Oh. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Nope, let's have Luke, you know,
just give up his powers, and well, Leia, you know, become a fully trained master, and then give up her powers, and
the fact that Anakin or Luke would choose to fight for Anakin's survival within the Force, right?
And then abandon Kylo.
And then it, the first thought of him going,
and
dark.
Then Rey,
it's just silly.
Come on, man. He knows he's the chosen one. Like, it's his job to get shit back on course, right? He can't just peace out and be like, "Nah, I'm gonna leave the world in darkness.
I'm gonna just park my X-wing in the water and be done with everything."
Yeah, that's not Luke. Yeah.
Just silly.
And my last worst line.
It better be the one that I think it is.
The worst line in all of Star Wars, because it really defines the terribleness of the sequel trilogy.
Oh, it's not. Oh, my
and
goodness.
It's when at the end of episode 9, an old lady says, "Who are you?"
I'm
Rey. Rey Skywalker.
Okay, that's bad. Yeah, that's bad. I didn't have that one down, but I will. Can I throw that in my list? Because I agree. Yeah. That's just downright terrible.
It just spits in the face of the whole fucking franchise, as I'm concerned. Like, it's
the best part about
just
it.
Just awful.
Palpatine gets everything that he wants.
Exactly.
Like, he's eliminated the Skywalkers, and now he is a Skywalker. Mm-hmm. It is so silly. Oh my goodness. Just be a Palpatine. Maybe make the name Palpatine mean something for good instead of turning. Oh, well, Rey, wasn't she a Palpatine? I guess nobody would know that outside of Leia and Luke, and they're both gone. Like, who else would know it, right?
Yeah.
So I guess you could pull that off, but still, it's silly. Here's my five. Number one. No.
Okay. Yeah.
Just the Frankenstein monster, Darth Vader, comes to life, pulls out his bolts, and with his force powers, crushes everything around him. Palpatine is smiling, all his greasy smile in the background, and Anakin screams no because Padme died.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. He's sad. But he's not Anakin at this point. No. Like, he's Vader. And no, it was just the goofiest shit ever. It was so, like, I literally was in the theaters laughing when that happened. And I love Star Wars. I'm all for cheesy. That was bad. Yeah. I don't like sand. That one was in there. One that I saw, like when I was looking up quotes, one that I saw that people thought was bad, from my point of view, the Jedi are evil. I actually like that line. I think it's a great line.
Yeah, I do too.
So I don't know.
And it's been given a lot of context, especially with all the stories that have been put in there afterwards.
Yes.
I could see maybe before the Clone Wars was released and all that stuff, it was probably a terrible line because it's kind of like this flip by Anakin is just so sudden, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever. Now with the context of the line now, I think it's a great line.
Yeah. I'm sad about this because a lot of bad lines come from my favorite character of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan has some just horrible lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's over, Anakin. I have the high ground.
Mm.
And he takes advantage of the high ground, but he also took advantage of somebody who had the high ground when he chopped Maul in half. So, and lots of people have made fun of that quote over the years, which is always good. I guess that's my number three. Number four was, again, Obi-Wan, when he's looking for the planet of Kamino, can't find it. And he says, it ought to be here, but it isn't. Like, just, I don't get it. What happened? And none of them come to the conclusion immediately that, well, somebody must have erased it from our archives. Like, it's the and who was what's her face, Jocasta New is like, oh, if it's not in the archives, it does not exist. Like, the Jedi are the be and all of everything in the galaxy. Just so much, is hubris the wrong word I'm using here? Am I using it backwards? Like, so over,
it'd be like arrogance.
Yes, yeah. Arrogant on their role within the galaxy. Like, if it's not in the archives, it's not a thing, which is just silly. So I guess that's kind of two quotes in one. And my final one was the again, Obi-Wan, the scene where Obi-Wan is not confronting, but he's talking to Padme about Anakin turning. And she says, no, it can't be true. And he says, I've seen a security hologram of him killing younglings. He just flats out tells her, your husband is killing children.
Yeah.
Which is just so horrible. Like, I saw him do some pretty bad shit at the Jedi Temple. That's all I'm saying, Padme. I'm not going to fill you in on the detail. Okay, fine. He was killing all the younglings. It's such a bad line. But I thought, like, I'll give the sequel trilogy this. The dialogue wasn't necessarily all horrible. There was some pretty bad lines, but it was written by a human being, at least. Whereas
it was more in line with the way people talk normally.
Yeah, the prequel trilogy written and just run by George Lucas, and George doesn't understand how humans interact, which is whatever.
Okay. Sometimes,
like it is what it is. But those are my five least favorite, but also favorite lines because they're so bad. They're so bad, they're good. Let's jump right into our reviews of Rebels season 4, episodes 5 to 8. We're now getting into the nitty-gritty of the rebellion confronting Thrawn specifically on Lothal. And one of the things that I thought was interesting about this, because we're dealing with two Jedi here, Kanan and Ezra, and obviously Ezra's power is growing significantly. Right? Like, where would you give, like, where is he right now in his power levels? Like, he's well, like, almost a knight.
What do you mean? Oh, like,
like, obviously he's not a master, because Kanan's not a master, but I think he has surpassed Kanan in some respects.
In some respects, but he doesn't have, like, all the discipline and the philosophy and all that stuff that's required to make proper rational decisions.
Correct.
So yeah, you could almost like with Anakin too, right? You know, in the prequel trilogy, like he, you know, he's got this power and it's he's so potent, you know, like people are already saying like he could stand up to Master Yoda in a duel, right? And he's like this teenager, you know, like I think it's the same kind of thing. Like he does have a good grasp on using the Force, but is he a Jedi Master? I don't think he's close. I don't even think he's
No,
close
no,
to being
no.
a knight, you know, like I don't know if he's gone through the trials, enough trials to be maybe
That's
by
a good
the
point.
end of the series,
I would say his
maybe,
trials is
because
what is going to be happening in the next few episodes. Maybe.
yeah.
So yeah, I can agree with you there. I think he's at points physically, I think he's surpassed Kanan.
Yes.
Now, does that is that because Kanan has lost his eyesight and maybe has taken a step back in, as far as his physicality? But every time we see Kanan step up to the plate and ignite his lightsaber, he is efficient. Like
Yes. He
I
knows
get
what he's doing.
I sit there and I go, wow, he has come a long way from what he was in the beginning of the series. Like Kanan is a different story than Ezra. Kanan is a grown man. Ezra's still a boy growing into being a man. And so there's that difference. But yeah, when Kanan lights that lightsaber, you just sit there and you go, uh-oh, look out. Which I thought was interesting. Anyway, I digress. The first episode, The Occupation, the ghost comes out of hyperspace, heading towards Yavin 4. I love all the scenes on Yavin 4 because it's just nostalgic to what we see at the end of A New Hope. And the temples and everything like that. And I just hope at some point we get to see more of that, maybe in a Luke TV show. Huh? I'm just saying. Ezra's asleep. He wakes up suddenly from a vision where he sees Ryder and the planet of Lothal suffering. When they land, Ezra is specifically summoned by Mon Mothma, which I thought was weird. She tells him about what is happening on Lothal, how it's locked down. And it's in a bad way. She asks for volunteers to head there, and the entire ghost crew are like, yep, let's do it. Which, I mean, it makes sense. They're all in together. And she even mentions that they work well together because they are a family, which I thought was kind of obvious, but okay. Visago is their way in. And I like what happens in the next few episodes with Visago because. here's how they get to Lothal. They're going to smuggle themselves on Visago's ship, and the way that they pay for it is Visago is trying to piggyback off of Lando with these puffer pigs that apparently can, what do they?
Literally
Yeah,
piggyback.
they. I did not mean that, but yes, it works perfect. What do they do again? They snuff
They
out.
can smell gems and ores and minerals or something like
Right.
that. Yeah.
Hera leaves Rex in charge of the ghost because they're leaving to go on Visago's ship. Callus thinks it's him, and he even says to Rex, why would she leave him in charge? He's commanded Star Destroyers. And just the funniest line is Rex looks at him and goes, well, you've kind of answered that for yourself. And the best part is Callus concedes hilariously. He's
Yeah,
like,
he just
all
gets out of the chair and he goes and sits on
right.
the co-pilot chair.
Which is so funny.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, good point.
Oh, how hard would that be to swallow it? Like, yeah,
Well,
I suck.
but that's good though. He understands his place in the rebellion too, and he's a team player, so I think it shows a lot about Callus, you know.
Yes, it does. They approach Lothal. Ezra immediately notices what is happening. The planet is just being raised. Fires all over the place. They, as they're coming in, they have to report I guess their passcodes, and they're all kind of worrying about whether they're going to get through. They get scanned, and there's life forms on this, so they all think they're smuggling life forms onto the planet, which they are. They board them when they land, and Ezra, just brilliant, he releases the puffer pigs. And Zeb scares them up with his face, which is funny. And it allows them to sneak out and also gives the Empire, oh, here's the bodies that we scan, which is kind of interesting. Also, you can look at it and go, well, that doesn't make any sense. There's not enough of them, but whatever. Who cares? They make their way into town. They split up. Ezra, Sabine, and Chop go one way to find Ryder. Kanan, Heron, and Zeb go to find Speeders. Mm-hmm. Ezra's group heads to Old Joe's, which is a bar where he thinks it'll be safe. They get in there, and it is not. It has been completely turned. And we find out what happened to Old Joe. He was arrested and executed for aiding rebels. And this is coming from Imperial Ace Baron Valen Rudar, who I don't remember at all. Do you? From earlier episodes? Because apparently he was in earlier episodes.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Right. Ezra's kind of on edge when he finds out that Old Joe got executed. Sabine tries to take him out of there. And as they're leaving, Rudar tells them to stop because they just take a drink and bolt. They don't even bother pretending to pay, which I thought was kind of funny. A redheaded kid jumps up calling Ezra Oleg, and he chums it up and then pays the tab that Ezra didn't pay. They leave the bar. When they get outside, it's Jay Kell, who we know from previous episodes when Ezra was infiltrating the Empire as a cadet. So there they are. Out of nowhere, Kanan's crew appears with a speeder and they tell them to get in, but then they're cut off from the Imperial tanks. Their speeder gets blown up somehow. Not a scratch on them. The speeder just gets blown up right in front of them. I guess physics doesn't work in the Star Wars universe, but whatever. They start heading back into Old Joe's, and as like weirdly, it's just a couple of things in this episode kind of bothered me. They go into Old Joe's, and as the stormtroopers and death trooper come running up, they just like, oh, rebels outside blew up a like, are none of these stormtroopers getting any information from anybody else?
Yeah, I know, eh?
Like, oh, okay, they run past them and they go into Old Joe's. Zeb destroys the door panel. Suspicious, but whatever. Chopper is tasked with finding an exit. He gets to an old sewer entrance. They jump in. Zeb's not happy about it. But the imps are coming in, and the death trooper is all pissed off at Rudar because he didn't know that there was an entrance into the sewers. They go in. The death trooper sends in Imperial probe droids. They battle the droids. They split up again. Chopper starts noticing paintings on the wall, and it's the Phoenix, I guess, logo from Sabine, I think. Zeb, Ezra, and Sabine destroy two probes. Ezra takes all of the blame on himself for the condition of Lothal, which is kind of silly. But Sabine calms him, and then they continue on. They converge into one hallway, but they're trapped on both sides by Imperials. And oddly enough, only Imperial troopers drop. With the amount of, like, they're just in the worst position possible. I guess having a Jedi on each side is good, but still. Ezra has to go and find the way out as Chopper sees the last symbol, which is pointing up to an escape hatch. They get up there, the door opens, and it's Ryder. And then they all get out and into a ship, and he explains the situation that a assault, or they're that TIE Defender program is now going into construction, and they have a facility on Lothal that is building these things. So Ezra tells them that they are all that is coming as far as rebellion goes. Ryder's kind of confused because Ryder had said that, or Ezra had said earlier that the rebels would send help, but they don't. It's just them. And Ezra's kind of overcompensating for the lack of support and says that we'll find a way to do it. And Ryder says, well, we'll take a look at the TIE Defender base and see if he feels the same way tomorrow. So that's the end of the first episode. Flight of the Defender is up next.
I just had a couple things about that episode. I think it's interesting. We just keep on seeing Kanan and Hera like always getting interrupted closer with their moments.
Yes.
You know, they're trying to get closer. They're trying to have that intimacy of a relationship, but it just can't seem to work out for them. They always just get interrupted. I thought it was cool that we also got to see a death trooper in this episode, because there's like this death trooper chasing them around the whole time. When they're in the sewers running away from the probe droids, I was just surprised they were so hardy. You know, like
usually the droids,
I thought they exploded with like one gunshot. You know, when we see in Empire Strikes Back, like you shoot the probe droids and then it just, when Han shoots it, it just explodes. Whereas these ones are like, get taken multiple shots and they're really dangerous. And
was Han using the bowcaster in that?
No, I don't think so.
Because that, to me, that would be, yeah, that would be the explanation.
Yeah, because I think like he's never really used it until The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I think you're right. can I use this?
Yeah. And then I just thought it was nice to see too how like invested Ezra is in Lothal, and like he is starting to take that bigger leadership role and like have that sense of agency that we talked about before before we started talking about this episode. Like you're starting to see that leadership role where he is maturing, and maybe he could become, you know, graduate from Padawan soon. Like maybe this is his trial.
Yeah,
right? Lothal's trial.
I can't wait for the Ahsoka TV show, because I do like. It's weird because when I first started watching this episode, and a lot of people complained about this, that Ezra was an annoying character. And I didn't understand that because he's a kid. Like, what do you expect? The same thing happened to Ahsoka in Clone Wars, right? Like, she was introduced and nobody liked her. And then, all of a sudden, she is like everybody's favorite character. Yeah, it's called character development. And that's what's happening with Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've done a fantastic job. So I can't wait to see what Ezra is going to become, or what the situation is with him with the Ahsoka TV show. Hopefully they do explain that. And I think they would, because they've already said they're searching for him. So, yeah. Flight of the Defender begins with Ryder, Sabine, Ezra, and Zeb scouting the TIE test facility. Mm-hmm. When Hera contacts them to find out their status, Ezra explains that they're in position, but nothing as of yet. They haven't seen it. And then Hera and Kanan are scouting the Imperial factory, and that there is new fuel tanks, which means they must be getting ready for production. And when you saw those fuel tanks, did you go, knowing that we're rewatching this for the third, fourth time, we know what happens, but it was just kind of, I went, that sucks. The TIE Defender arrives, and it's impressive. Like it's quite the vehicle. They get the data that they need, but it's funny how they do it. Sabine sneaks in and gets into the TIE Defender. I don't understand why they just wouldn't fly away with it.
I guess they don't know enough about it.
But they end up flying away with it. Like, that's the weird thing about it.
I guess, Well, they're pressured, right? Because then they get ambushed, like Thrawn lands, and then they get discovered, and then that's their only option. So I guess like the idea was to get in, to get out, get in, get out.
So they're
raise little to no suspicions until it's too late.
Yeah, I guess they end up stealing the little black box, the flight recorder, if you will, of the TIE Defender, which will give them all the information that they need on the actual starship. Ezra is left out to lunch as Sabine is doing this, and he gets surprised by a stormtrooper, and it puts him out into everybody's view. Everybody can see him. And so he's fighting off all these stormtroopers, and he's doing a masterful job of it. Sabine ends up taking the Defender and picks up Ezra, and they fly off. Zeb and Ryder just are like, okay, we got to go back. We've got the information that we actually need. Let's head back. If they get that, it's a plus. They'll be able to handle themselves. So they head back into Rebel Command, or I guess Ryder's command area. As they're flying away, they destroy some of the ships in the yard, and they get stuck again because the TIE Defender has the same, I guess, defense mechanism that other TIEs have, where it's a kill switch. And Sabine finds it, but it's too late. Ezra doesn't get a chance to land, and two of the wings fall off, and they land on the third wing. They get out of that, And Sabine discovers that they have a Nava computer, which means it's a hyperdrive. So this TIE Defender can not only outmaneuver any Rebel vehicle or ship, it's got shields, it's got proton lasers, and it can fly in hyperspace, mm-hmm. which is nuts. And kind of the only thing,
sick ship.
It is, but why wouldn't they just do that for all of the TIEs then? Like, why wouldn't that be a right from the get-go kind of thing?
Cost benefit analysis, maybe. They don't really okay. all need to do that. They're just really more deployed by the parent ships, the Star Destroyers.
Yeah. The Empire is cheap, eh?
Mm. Get rid of the clones. War.
Get rid of the clones. It's too expensive. Make the TIEs as cheap as possible. Palpatine is a he likes to handle the purse strings tight.
Yeah, budgeter.
he's trying to run an empire here. They land. They end up taking out the hyperdrive and then also the Nava computer, or not the Nava computer, the flight recorder, and they have to hide the hyperdrive because the Empire is now coming to catch them. Ryder and Zeb are worried, but Kanan tells Zeb that this is on them, not him and Ryder, so they don't have to. They'll be able to handle themselves. Sabine convinces Ezra that the hyperdrive can actually work in Ryder's U-ship, and we've seen a U-ship before. I don't know if we've seen it, if this is the first time we see it, or if we see it in Rogue One.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I can't remember what the timeline is.
Rogue One would have come out before this season, I think.
Okay, well then, this will be the second time that we see a U-ship, which I like. I think it's a cool ship. At night, the Rebels begin to search low-key for the hyperdrive that they hid. Ezra and Sabine avoid detection, and then Ezra starts to see a Loth Wolf, which is kind of for the first time. It appears behind Sabine as they're trying to run and escape and get back to Rebel Command. She turns around to see it, and it says sleep to her, and she passes out. Force abilities with these wolves, and they can talk,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. Ezra is about to defend them, but then he sees the white Loth cat sitting on the wolf's head. That makes Ezra relax. The Loth wolf kneels so that they can get on it, and then they escape the Imperial search party. The Loth wolf brings them back to Ryder's ship, and Ezra asks why the wolf is helping them, and all it says is doom.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you aren't paying attention,
mm-hmm.
you would just be like, ooh, that's kind of scary. But no, it's for Caleb Doom, which mm-hmm. is really, really interesting. The squad arrive. They're all happy. They are safe. Ezra explains what happened, but the wolf is gone. Sabine awakes, and she can't remember a thing. He tells Kanan, who says he believes him, that all their paths are starting to come together. And Ezra asks what that means, and Kanan says he doesn't know, but they'll find out when they get there. Great episode. Mm-hmm. I love it. And it leads into Kindred, which is episode number 3. This is an episode built for me. I love this. I thought it was a great episode. The Rebels, they've stolen the flight recorder, the hyperdrive of the TIE Defender Elite. Price informs Thrawn of what's going on, and he surmises that Hera would try to deliver that to Rebel Command, but they're not quite sure how she'll do it. Mm-hmm. And then Thrawn says he's going to be sending his agent Rook. I think it's Rook, right? Ruck?
Something like that, yeah.
Ezra, Zeb, and Jay are searching for that hidden hyperdrive. Ezra and Jay are decked out in scout trooper armor. At the crash site, Rook arrives and immediately picks up the scent of Zeb.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs off to find him. He doesn't even wait for any. He just runs. Zeb finds the hyperdrive and hides as Rook appears to stormtroopers Ezra and Jay. They try to explain that everything is okay. You don't need to worry. We're all good here. He immediately attacks Ezra. Mm-hmm. he just drops him on his ass and then goes right for Jay. I think it's Zeb ends up firing at him to get mm-hmm. them off, and then Price rolls up behind. Zeb steals the stormtrooper transport. And Jay and Ezra grab speeders to escape, but they're followed. I think Zeb immediately makes it back to the Rebel hideout. But one thing I didn't like about this chase scene is the fact that Zook could, whatever his name is, he, like, when Ezra plants a bomb on one of these overcroppings, it blows up and effectively cuts off the Empire's chase. But Rook takes the speeder and jumps over it, which I was like, yeah, but you can't do that with these things. Which was kind of silly, but yeah. I guess they get away anyway. So they get away, but Rook ends up following him and he transmits their coordinates to Price. Zeb arrives. They install the hyperdrive. Sabine does before Hera leaves with the stolen goods. Kanan expresses his worry about what's happening on Lothal, that it's not just a thing where the Empire is trying to take over a planet. Something else is amiss here. Hera surprises Kanan and kisses him. And we're all sitting there going, "Aw, look, it's the first actual little bit of intimate love between the two." And then she says, "May the Force be with you." And she takes Chop and the items in the ship and they head to space. And then she shows what kind of pilot she is. A goddamn good one. Mm-hmm. As she hits hyperspace by flying through an Empire docking bay. And the view of this is awesome, as everything in the docking bay kind of lights up as it lights into fire and just blasts through. It was, it was a cool scene. And then on Thrawn's ship, his commander comes over and tells him that Hera Syndulla escaped. And Thrawn does not look impressed at all. The rebels on the ground, they get surrounded by the Empire, but they escape through the rocks behind them because of the Lothwolf. They all show up and they lead them into the rocks, or into the, I guess, mountains, if you want to call them that. As they walk inside the cave, the area around them begins to glow as they're following the Lothwolves, and it gets darker and darker, and it almost seems like they're going into hyperspace until we see the Lothwolves walking, and then it looks like it is something that we're going to see a little bit later on.
Yeah.
In the seasons, which I thought was cool.
Yes, it looks like the world between worlds.
Yes, it really does.
And yeah, they don't answer it for you specifically, but it certainly does look like it.
Which, I mean, it's okay. I get it, right? But what a way to traverse. This actually travels them into, like, they were in the northern hemisphere of the planet, and when they wake up, they're in the southern hemisphere. So they're just out of trouble, which I thought was incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet move on the wolf's part.
Big time. Hera makes it back to Yavin 4. She delivers the TIE Defender equipment, which is huge. One thing that happens is Ezra goes back into the cave, finds Kanan with the White Wolf, and Kanan asks him, "What do you see?" And Ezra says it kind of reminds him of that Jedi temple that they were in. There's a bunch of cave paintings on the wall that tell a story. Ezra actually says, like, "Do you think that these people were Jedi?" And Kanan now asks the wolf why it helped them, and the wolf says, "Doom." Which Ezra goes, like, what, like, he said that before, what does it mean? And Kanan's like, that's
my name. Caleb Doom.
And he can sense that these wolves are connected to the Force and connected to Lothal in a big way. And what's the connection there? They don't know. But Kanan then kind of figures the Empire is doing something here on Lothal that's worse than what they already know.
And yeah, they're really messing with the Force.
Yeah. The wolf disappears into the wall, which was interesting. Ezra tells Kanan that I guess all paths are coming together. And Kanan says, "Yeah, I'm not sure that we're going to like where that path leads, which of course we figure out later on. No, we don't like that. And that is the end of episode Kindred.
Yeah. Like I was wondering here, like the assassin that Thrawn calls in this episode.
Yeah.
Is it the same species as that Hardeen episode with Obi-Wan? Remember the guy who makes the box?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good...
I think he's the same species, right?
He could be. That's interesting.
It's just they have the different animation style for, so he looks a little bit different. But I kind of was like, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, hey, wait a minute, is that the same species as blah blah blah? Whatever his name is, I can't remember what his name is. But he kept saying his name is I am blah blah blah, and now I can't remember his name.
Is it Rako Hardeen?
Yeah, Rako Hardeen. What was Obi-Wan's name in that?
I thought Obi-Wan. Yeah, because it's Obi-Wan something. He says.
Yeah,
was Obi-Wan Hardeen?
Maybe, I don't know. I can't remember. We talked about that like crazy something when Morales? We watched those.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah. You're on the right path with Morales. Something.
Yeah. But, yeah, I something from the other episode, like the previous episode too, like when they're stealing the star, the new TIE fighter.
Yeah,
I thought it was really smart that Sabine like blew up all the other ships in the hangar that they were stealing it from.
Oh, big time!
And when they go to sweep down and shoot Thrawn, and Thrawn just draws his blaster and he just starts shooting at it like Joker in the original Batman movie.
I liked it.
Michael Keaton. I'm like, that's pretty badass. Like,
I agree it was, but at the same time, like,
it's pretty stupid. Like, Thrawn's a tactician. Like, he knows that this is not going to do anything. Like, why would it's cool. I don't know. Maybe it's just confidence in knowing that she's not going to hit him. I don't know, but
yeah,
I thought that was an interesting thing in the episode too.
Sabine's a Mandalorian. It's not like she couldn't hit him, right? So like that would be the worst person to take that up that thought process with.
Yeah, for sure.
Silly, but oh well. What are you going to do? Next episode is Crawler Commanders. This is our fourth episode that we are watching inside the. Caves. The group is kind of, they've set up shop. Sabine's trying to tinker with an old transmitter, which is the best that they could find. I like this episode too, because again, it goes a little deeper into what's going on with everything. You've got Ezra, and you're starting to see Ryder take a bit of a different stance here, right? Like, where before he was very much, all about what's going on with this rebellion. Now he's like questioning things at every turn, which is not a good sign. They try to figure out how to get the transmitter to transmit long range, but the Galactic Empire is going to be blocking all their non-imperial transmissions. Kanan says that they really need to get in contact with Hera because they need to get out of there. So Sabine picks up something nearby on the transmitter. They go to check it out, and it's a giant ore crawler from the mining guild. And this gets all sorts of crazy. remember what happened to Visago? Yeah, we don't know. He kind of got captured by the Empire.
Yeah, we don't really find out.
Like he kind of got captured by the Empire. So we haven't seen him for, an episode and a half, two episodes? We get to see him again as he's a slave on this mighty guild ore crawler. And they free him. And the best is he comes out and he's yelling, like, oh, my friends are back. They've come to save me. And they're like, yeah, oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. Sabine takes out a couple of security droids on this thing. And then they beat up the captain of this vehicle, whatever it is. He's just chilling out in his chair, listening to headphones, which is awesome. Zeb actually has a really funny moment where he like takes the earpiece, lifts it up, and he's like, that's my favorite song, and snaps it back. And this guy is all scared, but then goes real tough on him. Which is kind of weird, but whatever. I thought they say he's Trandoshan.
Which guy?
The captain.
He's one of the lizards?
Yeah, like I looked it up and I'm like, I don't think
Well, they have like that Trandoshan whip, right? He's not one of the hairy cat-like ones.
No, but like
those slavers, but the Trandoshans, I think, work with those hairy cat-like slavers.
Yeah.
And he's got that electric whip, which is, we see a return.
Well, the captain doesn't. The captain is like, he must be a runt of the litter.
Hmm.
If he is. I was like, he's a Trandoshan, but okay. He speaks kind of the same way, I guess. We do see another Trandoshan who is full on big because Zeb ends up fighting him.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Bizago helps them try to kind of deal with the Empire as the Empire comes up on them in some of those, I guess they're transport drop ships almost. Mm-hmm. He pretends to be the captain. Zeb pretends to be a slave master, which I thought was hilarious. And then everybody else hides as the Empire drops on. They try to check everything out to see what's going on. And I guess they get the all clear and run. Ezra does a funny impersonation of the captain.
I don't sound like that, do I? That was kind of funny. Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's right. The captain looks at him. He's like, that's what I sound like.
Yeah.
And he dies in a horrible way, which is actually really funny. Ezra has to go and find him because they put him into, a closet almost, but he escapes.
Yeah.
So Ezra has to go into the ventilation shaft and find him. And he comes out in the, whatever area.
The engine room with the hyperdriver, so. Or whatever, the, not the hyperdrive, but the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets in and he's looking around for him. He uses the force to sense where he is. And so he fights him off a couple of times. And then Ezra gets his lightsaber knocked out of his hand. It lands close to, what would you even call it? I don't even know what to call it. It's like a garbage compactor that has like fire.
Yeah. It's like a piston.
Yeah.
Just slamming down. Yeah. Like a compressor.
The captain goes to fight Ezra, but he trips on his lightsaber and falls right into the thing. And that's it for him. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering too. It's like, the lightsabers are kind of I was wondering about this when I saw that scene, like what is the lightsaber's relationship to the force, right?
Yeah.
It's like, is the force trying to kill this guy? Do you know what I mean?
That's not very light side.
Tripping on the lightsaber.
Yeah. Cause then it's almost like luck, right? Like
in
sort of some weird way. As he trips on it, the lightsaber rolls back to Ezra and Ezra's just kind of like, huh, well, that worked out well. Moving on. The rider returns to the crawler in his speeder. Kanan asks him if he's like becoming a believer, which is weird because Ryder's always been on Team Rebels for the most part. Sabine manages to get that signal through to Rebel Command, and Ezra says all they have to do now is wait, and also remarks that the crawler kind of belongs to them now. They freed the slaves. The slaves are all happy to join the rebellion. Vizago appoints himself permanent captain of the crawler because, of course, he does. And Hera comes through with the signal and informs the rebels that the attack has been approved. Fighters are being prepped and it's all good to go, which brings us to the end of this episode. Kind of a quick one. There wasn't a whole lot of substance to this episode. It was just
really
straightforward kind of stuff. But it was a good episode. Because a lot of people would say that this is more of a filler episode than anything, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. There's a purpose to it, right? Like the purpose is to get to this crawler, which has the ability to make long range transmissions with it being part of the.
Yeah, they're setting. It is a bit of, I think it might be a bit of a filler episode because it is like, this is how they get from A to B.
Sure.
And I know like next episode is going to probably be a little bit more action packed and. Because they've established how they're going to do for the next episode. It's ready to be done. And now we're going to go do the thing that we're actually want to do, right? This is something we got to do what we actually want to do.
Right. And that's the big thing too, because like, here's the thing. Why would you need to get a transmission off to Hera. Like, she got back to Rebel Command. Mm-hmm. If they're going to do an assault, they don't need to beam a transmission down to them and be like, yeah, we're coming. Like, they just come. Right? So that's the thing. Up next is, of course, Star Wars, the Rebel Assault, which leads into Jedi Knight, which could be one of the saddest episodes, but also best episodes. Mm-hmm. In Star Wars, and we'll be getting into those next four coming up next week right here on the podcast. I love it. I love these episodes. I think they're great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. This show is great. Like, I love what it does to try and build the Star Wars lore and, you know, the universe, really, you know, the backstory of the Force and that kind of stuff. So, like, I'm loving what they're doing with Star Wars here.
It's huge, and the characters that they built, it's awesome, and I can't wait to see, like, we're seeing it now with Bad Batch, mm-hmm. getting more invested in these characters when we saw them in season 7. Oh, why should I care about them?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Filoni does it right when it comes mm-hmm. to building characters, and that's exciting.
Yes, he does.
That's all I got this week. You got anything else you want to kind of mention as far as what's coming up?
No, I don't got anything else.
Then we'll see you next week right here on Pod Racers, a Star Wars podcast, as we start getting ready for some of the deepest lore connection of light side and dark side that you're going to see in Star Wars with the next couple of episodes for Rebels, which I think is pretty awesome. Matt, where can we find you on the
interwebs?
Media, the interwebs.
On Twitter, you can try and get in touch with me at KEYHOH Kehoe.
Would you ever answer back?
I would. Maybe I'll go into Twitter now.
Oh,
see if anybody has messaged me on there. I don't. I would answer, but I don't expect to get too many people messaging me.
You can find myself DSO67. That's on Instagram and on Twitter. And of course, Pod_Racers. Leave us a review on what you like about the episode. 5 stars would be nice, but whatever. We'll take whatever you can give us. And then let us know what you want us to get into and talk about when it comes to everything Star Wars. Matt, what would he'll say as we lead out of here?
He would say, stay safe and watch Star Wars.
Yes, stay safe. Because things are starting to open up a little bit more everywhere around, which is okay. We'll get ready for it. And Heels, if you're listening, hopefully the whole family's doing awesome. I know you got one of the kiddos at home. The other's still in the hospital, and he's getting better every day, which is exciting news. So that's it for us. We'll see you next week right here on Pod Racers, the Star Wars podcast.